From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted that you've decided to be with us today. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns has been preaching on the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message this week is taken from the concluding verses of Matthew chapter 14. These few verses reveal to us the compassionate heart of the Lord Jesus, showing that He has virtue enough to heal every need of sin-sick souls. Not only so, but He places Himself where souls can easily reach Him. We'll hear the continuation of this message in a few minutes, but first Dr. Cairns returns to the emphasis upon Reformation Month with today's hot topic. According to the Holy Scriptures, it is Christ the Rock, Peter a Shamrock. Here is Dr. Cairns.
I'm sure that the Apostle Peter would have been horrified to think that any group of professing Christians would claim that he was the rock on which Christ built his church. Peter knew very well what every student of the Bible knows, that the term rock is a description reserved for the Lord as the covenant God of his redeemed people. Again and again, in the Old Testament, we have the testimony of God's people to their only God and Savior. Thou art my rock. The title carries many shades of thought. The Lord is our defense, our security, our place of refuge and refreshment. And of course it has in it the idea that the Lord is our solid foundation which can never be moved or overthrown. Given the significance of the term, then, it's easy to understand that the Old Testament uses the word rock as a title for God and applies it to no one else. Thus, when Moses says of the heathen, their rock is not as our rock, he means that their gods are not like Jehovah, the living and true God. The New Testament is no less clear in identifying our rock. Speaking of the rock from which water flowed to the Israelites in the wilderness, Paul said, that rock was Christ. Scripturally, then, there is no room for doubt as to the identity of the rock on which God's people stand secure and from whom they draw all their spiritual sustenance. It is Christ. Considering the rock naturally leads us to think of the foundation in which Christ builds his church. Here again, Paul is explicit. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. From all of this, I will make this proposition. Christ builds his true church on himself as the rock. Any church that claims to be built on any other rock is not the Church of Christ. The Church of Rome claims to be the one true Church of Christ, but insists that Peter is the rock on which that church is built. The real reason for this insistence is that Rome sees here the hope of some semblance of biblical authority for her claims for the papacy. Of course, there's no biblical foundation for papal pretensions. Even if Christ had made Peter the rock, there is no way that that could ever be construed as establishing the papacy. But Christ didn't make Peter the rock. When he said, "Thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," he was referring to what Peter had just confessed, namely, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the rock, not Peter, on which Christ builds his church." Now I come back to our proposition. and follow the simple logic. Christ builds his church on himself and no one else. The Church of Rome claims to be built on Peter as its rock. Therefore, the Church of Rome is not the Church of Christ. We should thank God that in his great mercy, he raised up the Protestant reformers to clear away the falsehoods that had been increasingly imposed on an uninstructed laity by Rome for many centuries, and best of all for setting Christ before the world as the only one able to bear the weight of our faith and our hope. All who trust in Christ alone will never be put to shame, for he is truly our rock. All whose faith rests on any other so-called rock will find out in the end that all other rocks are only sham rocks.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with his word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Thank God our Savior provided a perfect holiness, a perfect righteousness, a perfect obedience, a total compliance. There was nothing in His mind to which God could take exception. There was not the slightest shadow of the hint of a suggestion of even a desire to depart from perfect obedience. In His mind, in His heart, as well as in His words and in His actions. There is virtue in the obedience of Christ. Thank God that obedience led Him all the way to the cross. It could not be perfect obedience or complete obedience unless it led to Calvary, where, having lived the perfect life, He laid that life down in one complete sacrifice for sins. One unrepeatable sacrifice for sins. One sacrifice that God received then and forever. And so perfect is that sacrifice that not only does it not need repetition on the earth, but when you read the description of it, as the blood is in heaven, it is ever fresh. John describes Him as the Lamb freshly slain. Oh, years have gone by, but as far as God is concerned, that blood is as fresh, that blood is as efficacious, that blood is as powerful and virtuous today as the moment it was presented at His throne. Thank God this morning there is virtue enough in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand what this means. This means there is no fear of our needs ever being too great for the Savior. Now let that sink in. It's so simple. It's again one of the obvious things that we let it slide over our heads. You look at this congregation this morning. I can see faces. I cannot see hearts. But I will guarantee there's not a pew, there's not a row in this congregation. I will go further. There is not an individual in this congregation this morning but is beset by great need. Some of you need to be saved. If you died in that seat, you'd be damned in God's hell, and you know it. Unsaved, unregenerate, unrepentant, unconverted. You need to be saved. There are people here who are saved, and you know you're saved. You can see in your life when God stepped in and Christ redeemed you and Christ changed you and made you a new creature, and now you've passed from death unto life. But where you sit this morning, you know that as far as your fellowship with God is concerned, you're far off. Backslidden in heart and perhaps even in behavior. You sit in God's house this morning, icicle cold to the things of God. Gone are the days when you delighted in the book of God. Gone are the days when you could say the throne of grace was the sweetest refuge for your soul. Gone are the days when you rejoiced in the fellowship of God's people. Gone are the days when your lips were red hot as you spoke of the love of Jesus. Today you find yourself cold and and far off from God. I tell you, there are people here who sit before God this morning with a great need. There are others, your body's racked with pain. The future is very uncertain. The great cloud hangs over your home and over your heart. Or others, and you're struggling in prayer for your sons and for your daughters, wondering how it is with their soul, praying that God will bring your loved ones into Christ. There are yet others, and there are stresses in your mind that I know nothing of. Stresses in your home. Stresses in your marriage, stresses in your business. I tell you, look at this congregation, and you have Gennesaret all over again. But I want to tell you, there is no danger of our needs being too great for the Savior. You think of why the Lord Jesus came. When the Father appointed him to come into the world, he called him my servant, mine elect. I have put my spirit upon him. He says he shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged. Listen carefully. He says, I have given him for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. When Jesus came on his public ministry, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The passage from which he was quoting in Isaiah 61 goes on to say, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Men and women, that's why our Savior came. He came fully equipped to do the job at hand. His saving virtue and power extend to meet every need. It is not always His will to heal our bodies, for we all, if He tarries, must die sometime. But it is always His will to heal our souls. Thank God He forgives sin of every kind. Thank God He bridges the gulf between us and our God, between earth and heaven. He calms the storms of life, and He stills the swelling of Jordan as we approach unto death. He heals hearts that are broken. He heals homes that are broken. Fractured families, miserable marriages, places that have suffered because of sin and self. He makes broken lives all over again. He takes, as the potter, the clay of your life. He puts it on the wheel, takes out the impurities. And in one of the loveliest statements of Scripture, He says, He makes it anew. Tell me, are we not a people this morning who need a new start? Do I not have a lot of people here, and I start with me, who need something new? Bless God. From the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and virtue flow as a mighty tide of blessing. And that tide can reach to you today. Because I want you to notice the second obvious thing. That the Lord Jesus places Himself where souls can easily reach Him. Not only does He have the power and the virtue, but He places Himself where souls can easily reach Him. Following the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus went to Gennesaret. Now, Gennesaret was not a place of seclusion. Gennesaret was not a remote place. It was not a place that was hard to find. In fact, according to the Jewish historian Josephus, hard to get my tongue around him, this Gennesaret was a little part on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, some 4 miles long by about 2 to 3 miles deep, and known as the most fertile part of the whole Galilean area. And I'm telling you that saying something. For the Galilean area is in many ways the most fertile part of all Israel. When you get a place like that, you get people. The Lord Jesus deliberately went to Gennesaret, where He knew the people would be. It was a place where He had been before. The people knew Him. And thus He was deliberately setting Himself in the way, in the path of many, many needy souls. Immediately He was recognized. And then the word began to spread around. And He remained there. And interestingly, Mark carries it on beyond the immediate chronological context and tells us that He continued going around village after village. He remained there until everybody there who wanted to reach Him could reach Him. And then He went out to other places where others could come and reach Him. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your mind's eye this morning, can you see Him getting off the boat? Can you see the startled gaze in the eyes of the beholders? He's come. Can you hear the sound going around Gennesaret? Jesus of Nazareth has come. The crowds start coming. Those who can't make their own way are crying for help, and soon others are hauling them along. The little paths are crowded with people, and around the Savior there's this almighty crush as people are searching and trying to get away. And they're saying, Lord, let me but touch the hem of your garment. And he turned not one single soul away.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.